Good morning, and welcome to Mincer's third quarter 2019 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be read for the procedure to follow in order to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Borja of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. I'm very pleased to welcome you to Mincer's third quarter 2019 earnings call. Today from Mincer, we are pleased to have the senior management team who will discuss the company's third quarter 2019 consolidated results per the press release distributed by the company on Friday, November 15th. If you have not yet received a copy, please contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693, and we will immediately send you a copy. Please note that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, a question from the media will not be taken at this time. If you're a member of the media, please contact the company directly after the call. Also, please be advised that forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call, and they do not account for economic circumstances, industry conditions, the company's performance, or financial results. As such, the forward-looking statements are based in several assumptions and factors that could change, causing actual results to materially differ from the current expectations. For a complete note on forward-looking statements, please refer to the last page of the earnings release. Joining us from Mincer, we have Mr. Juan Luis Kruger, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Joaquin Larrea, Chief Financial Officer. Thank you for your attention. At this time, Mr. Juan Luis Kruger will initiate his presentation. Mr. Kruger, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone, and thanks again for joining us today to review our third quarter 2019 results and for your continued interest in Mincer. Before jumping into results, let me take you to some of our major achievements and highlights for the first 9 months of the year. As you know, safety is one of our most important values, so let me start then with our safety performance. During the third quarter, we registered 3 low-site injuries. One of them was reported at San Rafael after 3.9 million hours worked without accidents since last December. We have reinforced our safety campaigns and procedures in line with our commitment to world-class performance. The other two low-site injuries were reported at our Mina Justa project. It is important to highlight that by the end of September, we achieved 14 million man hours worked at the project, and the workforce at Mina Justa exceeded 5,400 people, including our own workforce and multiple contractors. Nonetheless, Mina Justa's safety performance is remarkable, as the lost time frequency rate remains at a world-class low of 0.47. This is world-class for a project this size. Safety, however, remains a big challenge and is a key priority in our project. Other very important highlight in safety was the achievement of 4.1 million hours worked at our B2 project without any lost time injuries. This is a major achievement and a testimony of our commitment to safety, as this project has not reported any lost time injuries throughout the construction phase. Now, before moving on to the third quarter results, I would like to comment on the context of the base metal market. Compared to the first 9 months of 2018, metal prices have decreased significantly, reflecting much higher volatility during the last quarter. We've seen prices fluctuating between $15,710 and $18,900 per ton. The uncertainty originated by the U.S.-China trade war, along with the trade tensions between Japan and South Korea, and the uncertainty around Brexit, have negatively impacted the tin demand. During October, tin price slightly recovered on the back of expectations of a potential phase one trade deal between the U.S. and China. But this recovery was short-lived as prices turned to quarter lows. Trump ruled out a complete rollback of already imposed tariffs. After Friday's closing, tin was around $16,275 a ton. We have implemented significant cost reduction initiatives to ensure that we can preserve our margins and our cash position in order to keep financing our projects going forward and despite the current price down cycle. As a result of this unstable context, price of gold was also very volatile, but in the opposite direction, ranging from a low of $1,384 per ounce to a high of $1,553 per ounce during the quarter, proving to be a natural hedge in our portfolio. Moving now into our operating results, let me now move on into our operating results. Tin and gold production closed 12% and 4% higher than Q3 2018, respectively, while ferroalloys production was in line with the same period of the previous year. These results allow us to increase the production guidance of refined tin to between 24,000 and 25,600 tons for the year, and ferroalloys production to between 3,650 and 3,800 tons for the year, and also maintain the production guidance for gold between 90 and 100,000 ounces for 2019. More details for production and cash costs for operations are provided in the earnings release. However, let me mention some highlights. At San Rafael, tin production reached 5,107 tons for the quarter, which is a 5% increase compared to the same period of the previous year, mainly explained by higher volume of ore treated in the concentration plant and a higher fit rate. An important milestone has been the extension of the ore sorting operation, which was scheduled only until the end of July this year. However, today it is still operating, which helped us to reduce the cash cost per ton treated significantly. The pre-concentration plant remains as a key contributor of value to our San Rafael mine, and we continue to explore options to further extend its life. Due to the increase in production of San Rafael, refined tin production at our Pisco smelter was 19% higher in comparison to the same quarter last year because of the higher volume of ore fed to the smelting plant and higher recovery rates. Likewise, cash cost at San Rafael was 2% lower than in Q3 2018, closing at $60 per ton treated. With these results, the company has increased the annual production guidance to between 18,500 and 19,500 tons of refined tin at Pisco and decreased the guidance on the annual cash cost to between $65 and $70 per ton treated. San Rafael and the Pisco smelter are having an exceptional performance this year. Moving on now to our exploration projects near the San Rafael mine, the drilling campaign and the construction to access the recently discovered San Germán ore body continues as planned. Our drilling campaign at Mazarik is also progressing according to plan. With respect to 2020, given the global market context, the exploration effort will be carried out in phases according to the tin price evolution and its impact on our resource. We will be a lot more stringent on the way we phase our exploration expenditures in 2020, subject to how the market evolves. Let me now switch to Cucamarca, our gold mine, where production for the quarter closed at 25,449 ounces of gold, which is 4% higher than the same period of the previous year. This increase was mainly explained by the higher volume fed to the leach pad, partially offset by lower gold head grades. Cash costs for the third quarter at Cucamarca closed at $4.9 per ton treated, which is a 9% increase over the same period in 2018, mainly explained by the advance of work that was planned to be performed later in the life of the mine to improve the geotechnical parameters of the waste dump. As a result, our cash cost closed at $424 per ounce in the quarter, which is 19% higher compared to the same quarter of the previous year, reflecting the advances on these expenditures on the waste dump and on the lower volume produced. Our production and cost guidance for Tucamaca have not changed for 2019, as I mentioned before. Moving on to Tavoca, during the third quarter, refined tin production reached 1,597 tons, which is a 7% decrease compared to the same period of the previous year. This decline was mainly explained because of the depletion of the slags that were processed in 2018 at the Pirapora smelter. In other words, the comparison base changed, and that's the reason for the decline in production. Ferroalloys production at Pitinga closed at a record of 1,059 tons in the third quarter, which is slightly above the same period of the previous year. It is important to mention that the new fleet of mine equipment began to arrive at Pitinga in September, which will allow us to normalize production in Q4. We expect to conclude the year with an annual production of refined tin of between 6,000 and 6,300 tons, while production of alloys should close between 3,650 and 3,800 tons. Cash cost is expected to close between $19 and $20 per ton treated. During the quarter, cash cost at Tavoca closed at $20.4 per ton treated, which is a 9% increase compared to the third quarter of last year. This was partially as a result of greater use of diesel for power generation at Pitinga due to the lower rainfall at our hydroelectric power plant, and also due to higher costs of leasing mine equipment. As a result, EBITDA for the quarter closed at $25 million, which is a $15 million decrease compared to the previous year, reflecting again the lower production, the lower price of ferroalloys, and the higher costs. Moving now on to our growth projects, our D2 project had some important achievements to report during the quarter. First, and as I mentioned before, there were no lost time injuries reported, neither in the quarter nor throughout the project construction phase. Second, the construction of the concentration plant was 100% completed by the end of September. Third, the tests of all the systems at the plant were completed with water, and the second commissioning had a progress of 81.4% by the end of the quarter. By the end of October, total progress was at 98.2%. The Ministry of Energy and Mines extended the operations permit and visited the B2 plant. We started the third commissioning process. As of today, we have produced 343 tons of tin concentrate that has been sent to our Peacewood smelter. Total capex expenditure for the project remains within budget and in line with the definitive estimate. In other words, the B2 project has been completed. It is under the final phase of commissioning, and it has already started production. Everything within the project schedule and within the project budget, without any lost time accident. Quite a remarkable track record for a project this size. Switching now to Mina Justa, as of September 30th, total progress reached 55.5% versus 50.8% planned ahead of schedule. The main highlights for the quarter include over 37.8 million tons of pre-stripping being moved out of the mine. The headcount is now slightly over 5,400 people. The main activities during the quarter were the revision of the commissioning plan for the oxide and sulfide plant, the completion of the assembly of the hole tracks, and the start of the mechanical assembly, electrowinning, and settler cells at the oxide plant. By the end of October, overall project progress was at 61% versus 58% planned, and we remain in line with the project schedule and budget for completion. We expect to start operations by the end of 2020 as planned. No significant deviations have been registered so far in the Mina Justa project. With that, I would like to conclude my presentation. It is a pleasure for me to introduce our new CFO, Mr. Joaquín Larrea, who joined us in September this year, replacing Mr. Diego Molina, who has taken on a new role in our company. Previously to joining Minsur, Mr. Larrea served as corporate development manager at Cementos Pacasmayo in Lima for 8 years. It's a pleasure for me now to turn the call over to him.
Thank you, Juan Luis, and good morning to everyone. Thank you again for joining Minsur's third quarter earnings call. I am very glad to assume this new responsibility, and please feel free to contact me anytime. During the third quarter, net revenues were close to $165 million, similar to the same period last year. This was mainly explained by higher tin and gold volume sold, as well as a higher price of gold. However, this result was offset by lower tin prices, -11%, and lower sales volumes of ferroalloys, -10%. We expect lower tin sales in the last quarter given the current lower prices. However, we also anticipate this decrease will continue to be offset by higher gold prices. Gross profit was $54.8 million, a 19% decrease compared to the same period, 2019, explained by lower sales. As a result, gross margin decreased to 33% in the quarter, compared to the 41% same period last year. Administrative expenses were $13.3 million, an increase of 7% compared to the same period last year. This increase was primarily due to the higher consulting fees. Given the base metals price context, we are increasing our saving efforts and implementing efficiency plans. Exploration and sustaining project expenses totaled $10.9 million, and a 16% increase compared to the same period last year, due to the strengthening of the company's exploration program in the vicinity of San Rafael and Pucamarca, which will allow continuity to the Minsur's operations. Exploration programs are being reviewed for next year to align to our efficiency and cash preservation plans. EBITDA was $54.8 million, a 28% decline or a $21.2 million decrease compared to the same period 2019, mainly explained by lower gross profit margins derived from lower tin prices and higher expenses. Net financial expenses were -$6.7 million compared to $33 million reported for the same period of 2018. This was because 2018 was positively impacted by the tax refund derived from the excess payment made in 2002, which also included the interest income. Results from subsidiaries and associated reached -$0.2 million, which is $0.9 million lower compared to the same period last year, explained by lower results from Inversiones Cordillera del Sur. Taxes were $18.8 million compared to the $4.2 million of the same quarter of last year. This was mainly due to the tax refund registered in 2018 derived from the overpayment made in 2002. In terms of net income, Minsur registered -$10.6 million in the quarter, a decrease of $91.8 million compared to the same period last year, mainly explained by the tax refund already explained lines above and a higher exchange rate loss. Adjusted net income, which includes results from subsidiaries and associates, as well as the exchange rate variation, reached $3.1 million for the third quarter of 2019, $3.3 million lower than the third quarter of 2018, mainly due to lower EBITDA, as explained before. In terms of capital expenditures, the company invested $304.5 million during the quarter, out of which $250.8 million were allocated to Mina Justa, $36.4 million to B2 projects, $9.5 million to San Rafael, and $7.8 to the other operations. In San Rafael, capital investment was mainly focused on increasing B3 tailing dam capacity, and in Pucamarca and Taboca on equipment renewal. Regarding liquidity, Minsur concluded the quarter with $472 million in cash, a 29% decrease compared to December 2018. This is mainly due to an investment cash flow of $618.7 million which were partially offset by an operating cash flow of $20.2 million and a net financing cash flow of $408.7 million. This financing cash flow includes $394.1 million from Mina Justa Project Finance, $80.6 million contribution from Alkstar, and the outflow of $66 million of dividend payments. It is worth mentioning that the operating cash flow includes a tax payment of $66.7 million in Mina Justa, which will be recovered through the special regime for value-added tax anticipated recovery. Total financial debt as of September reached $1,024 million, 60% higher than the total debt reported at the end of 2018, around $640 million, mainly due to the disbursement of Mina Justa project finance. Net debt over EBITDA ratio reached 2.3 times versus minus 0.1 at the end of 2018. Minsul remains focused on continuing operational enhancements as well as on financial performance, while ensuring our growth through the execution of projects underway. Thank you so much for your attention, and at this point, we're ready for your questions. Operator, please proceed to the Q&A question.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star, then one on your touch-tone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Again, it is star, then one to register for a question. We'll pause to allow questions to queue. Once again, it is star, then one to ask a question today. We'll pause for a moment longer. Please press star then one to ask a question. And we do have a question. It comes from Omar Avelandia with Prima AFP. Your line is open.
Good morning. Thank you for the presentation. I have two questions. The first one is about the supply-demand balance of the tin market. Maybe you can comment on that if there has been any change since the last conference call we had. And the second one is about the results from San Rafael. We have seen that the company has been producing more tin, and actually the sales were lower than the production. So can you comment on that? Maybe you are seeing an opportunity to sell more or to increase your inventory for just a few weeks or months? Thank you.
Juan Pedro, can you repeat the last question?
Yes. I was hoping you can comment on the balance of the production and sales of tin. I have seen that during the third quarter, you have produced 7,000 tons of tin, but you have sold 6,400. So is there is this a result of a higher production that you didn't see that coming, or you are looking to benefit from any opportunity in the market?
Okay, ¿le puedo proseguir con él ya en este momento?
Okay, Juan Luis, I think that we lost you, on the call. Let me make you a quick recap on the question from Prima.
¿Qué pasa?
Sorry, you want to answer this question. Prima has made two questions, really. The first one is if you can make any comments regarding the supply demand on the team, especially nowadays with all the worldwide situation. That's the first question. And the second one was that we can quickly answer that question, but it's, there's a difference between on the production on this quarter that is around 7,000 tons and we've sold 6,400. There's nothing to do. It's just a small rollover which we expect that we'll be selling that difference on the following month. No problem.
Okay, Who made the question? I'm sorry because we had a problem with the line. I'm right now just speak at this nature. So who made the question? Joaquin again?
The Prima FP.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for the question. As I mentioned at the beginning of my speech, the results of the trade wars, not only between the U.S. and China, but also between Japan and South Korea, have impacted mainly the solder industry, the tin solder industry. The chemical industry keeps with a pretty steady demand, I would say. And tin plate so far globally has been declining, but in our case, we have also experienced a steady demand. At the end of the day, the bottom line is that the expected tin demand in the world is going to be slightly above 350,000 tons for the year. That's around a 5% decrease compared to 2018. So what we are seeing is that there is a contraction in tin consumption this year as a consequence of the trade wars and all the uncertainties around the world. And I would say in general, as a result as well, of the slowdown in not only China, but also the EU and Germany. The automotive sector has also impacted tin demand during the year. Having said that, we are also experiencing a reduction on the supply side as China has shut down not only some mining operations, but also a smelter operation. And there's another smelter in China that has been that has gone into maintenance for probably around 50 days in the last quarter. Myanmar production has fallen 22% year over year, and as a result, again, China is becoming now a net importer of tin, whereas in the past 3 to 4 years it has been a net exporter of tin. The bottom line is that we don't foresee a major surplus in the market. The market is pretty much in balance. There has been an increase in LME inventories during the third quarter, and that was a reflection of Indonesia dumping inventory into the LME. There has been a structural change on the industry in Indonesia, where as a consequence of the export bans for private smelters, what has happened is that PT Timah, the state-controlled tin company, has basically taken over the production of all the informal miners that were selling tin concentrates into these private smelters. And as a result, Timah loaded a pretty significant amount of stocks into the LME in the third quarter. Stocks right now in Shanghai are at very low levels, and at the LME, they're at high levels. However, when you add up both Shanghai and LME stocks, they're pretty much stable. So in other words, the increase at the LME is being offset by decreases at Shanghai. What all of this tells us is that we are just having a slowdown this year, but we expect that next year, especially in the second half of next year, the restocking in China should start. Restocking should actually start by the end of March, we believe, after the Chinese New Year. And then on, we expect tin prices to come up as demand and consumption starts to increase again, and production in China remains at a lower level than before. This will be partially offset, of course, from the supply side with 3 to 4,000 tons of additional tin coming out of our B2 project, plus around 8 to 10,000 tons coming out of the BC project that has started production this year out of the DRC in Africa. So that's kind of the overview. We're in a tight market right now, but the outlook is quite promising. As you know, we have seen in previous cycles, we expect tin to come back quite quickly, especially given that around 16,500 to $17,000 a ton, there are around 15% of the world production that are producing below cost. So that provides a natural resistance to further price decline. Short term, there will continue to be a lot of volatility, but as we move into 2020, especially the second quarter and third quarters, we expect the price to rebound, and we don't foresee issues going forward with our sales. On the other hand, the difference between our production and sales in the quarter, as Joaquin was mentioning, is just a result of a rollover because by the time we closed the quarter, there were some vessels that were a little bit late arriving to the port, but it's not related by any means to this slowdown in the market.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Once again, it's star then one to ask a question. We'll pause for any additional questions to queue. Again, that is star then one today. At this time, there are no additional questions. I'd like to turn the program back over to Mr. Krueger for any closing remarks.
Thank you all so much for your attention and your continued interest and trust in Minsur. We always look forward to hearing from you. Please do not hesitate to contact me or Joaquin Larrea if you have any additional questions, and have a great day. Thank you.